Welcome to The Mind is a Wonderful Thing to Waste, the podcast that I very rarely do. This is not the radio show, for those who do listen to the other one, which is a little bit more frequent and has less of my bullshit. Today, I'm going to run down the WrestleMania card, which I've done in the past. I think I might have missed last year's because I was lazy or drunk or whatever the case may be. But I figure seeing that next weekend is the granddaddy of them all, I thought I'd run down the card. It's going to be... I'm pretty excited about WrestleMania, to be perfectly honest with you. It looks... they've built up some great storylines. There's going to be some great matches. The card is stacked. I think the show is going to go for about 7 hours at the rate this is going. It'll be about a 2-hour pre-show and a 5-hour main event. It's going to go on forever. There's about 13 or 14 matches. I think 12 confirmed, a couple to may eventuate out of a Monday Night Raw and a Tuesday Night SmackDown. But I'll just go through what we know and what I think. If anyone who pays any attention to anything that I actually ever do, I did write a blog post on my strangebuttruecreative.com website probably 2 months ago, not long after the Royal Rumble, where I sort of mapped out a road to WrestleMania. Go back and have a look at that. I think I've got most of the matches correct. Yeah, my storyline arcs weren't the same, but in some cases they've done a better job, WWE. In some cases I think I should be employed as a writer. I think my predictions were so much better. My fantasy booking was a lot better. But look, before we talk about that, the tradition here is that, of course, I've got a beer in hand. Today's craft beverage is Nomad Brewing Company, the salt and pepper freshy Goes style beer. It's light, it's crisp. Goes is a very salty style of beer at the best of times, which I'm not a massive fan of, but this one's actually kind of easy to drink, so it's probably easy for people to get into. It's along the same lines as the Sierra Nevada, Otra Vez, as well. A real easy drinking goes. Some of them can be quite salty and a bit like you're just drinking ocean water. But this one, no, quite an easy drinker. I just smacked my head against the wall. The other good thing about this is that I'm not editing this one. I'll stick the intro and the outro and that'll be fucking it. Right. WrestleMania 33. Let's go through. I'm going to start from the top and go down the bottom. I'll give you my thoughts, opinions, who I think is going to win, what I like, what I don't like. All that fun BS. Coming out of Orlando, Florida, WrestleMania 33. I would like to... obviously, I've been to WrestleMania. I've been to WrestleMania 29 4 years ago. Would like to experience the whole week, though. So, go to the Hall of Fame ceremony on the Friday night. Go to NXT on the Saturday. Raw on the Monday, SmackDown on the Tuesday, go to Fan Access, all the fun stuff that happens around WrestleMania week. It's a big thing for a city to actually host WrestleMania. Like, not only is there 80,000 people for the actual event, but for all the other shows, the tourism that it probably brings in, it'd be fantastic. I'd like to see them actually do it out of the US. I'd love to see them do one. Look, it'd be awesome if they did one in Sydney. How fantastic would that be? It'll never happen, but it'll be fantastic. Anyway, WrestleMania 33, the headliner is Goldberg, who is the Universal Champion, versus Brock Lesnar. This is a third match and a rematch from SummerSlam, which, of course, Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar in a minute 26. Goldberg then beat Kevin Owens in 26 seconds for the Universal Championship back in Fastlane in February. God damn, I hate Goldberg. I think he shouldn't have come back. I don't think they should have given him the championship. He clearly can't wrestle, couldn't wrestle back in the day in WCW. This is going to be a 2-minute squash match to close the show, and it'll be Brock Lesnar winning, because clearly Goldberg's not going to stick around. So Brock will be a part-time champion once again. And you know what? It's going to be a really shitty way to end what's probably going to be a really good show. Which is disappointing that they're doing it. Like, I get it from a perspective that it's to entice non-fans and old fans who have left watching wrestling and trying to entice them back by Goldberg, you remember him from the 90s in WCW. Brock Lesnar, you remember him? He was a UFC fighter. It just doesn't interest me whatsoever. And especially after 5 hours of the WrestleMania, you can't. No one's going to care for this match. Everyone's going to be spent. It'll be fucking bullshit. But that's your main event. Oh well, Brock Lesnar's going to go over. The WWE Heavyweight Championship, or the SmackDown titles, I now like to call it, Bray Wyatt, champion versus Randy Orton. Obviously, Randy has broken away from the Wyatt family, turned on Bray Wyatt, burnt down the Wyatt compound. Bray's on his own, all the other family members have left. His championship run has not been memorable because he actually hasn't defended the belt and hasn't done anything with it since winning. All signs point to Randy Orton winning this belt, which sucks because I like Bray. I like Bray Wyatt. I like the character and I like what he does in the ring. I think he's actually phenomenal for a big man, in the same vein as a Kevin Owens or even Luke Harper and Braun Strowman, who are considered agile big men. So is Bray. What he does is amazing in the ring. However, this has not been a great title run for him. It will go to Randy Orton, and I believe AJ will probably chase him for a while. Bray may get back into the picture at some stage, but I think Bray's been used as a paper champion just to hold over while they try to work out what they did after giving John Cena a title reign for 2 weeks, which was pointless, except for tying Ric Flair and having that. I'm disappointed with the run, and this will be a good match. I think Randy, unfortunately, will go over on Bray Wyatt. Another match that I'm not looking forward to, sadly. You know how I said at the beginning that how I'm hyped about WrestleMania? The first three matches that I'm talking about, not so hyped on. This is The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. I'm going to give you two reasons why I'm not impressed with this match, and I don't care for it. One is Roman Reigns. I posted a blog about Roman Reigns and why I don't like him and what I think he needs to do to be likable for the fans and to get over. This match with The Undertaker, I am the biggest Undertaker mark. I have loved him since he first debuted back in, was it 91 Survivor Series, 92 Survivor Series? Might have been later than that, to be honest. But for 25, 26 years, I've loved The Undertaker, but even in the two spots that he's come back, the Royal Rumble, you could see his hips no good. He's struggled moving around the ring, and just with the interaction so far, Roman Reigns, he just doesn't look good. Roman is going to break him in half, and this will also be a quick match, and I think Roman will win, and the idea of this match, I think, is for obviously the proof to hand over, to pass on the legacy. Undertaker passing the torch to Roman Reigns. Again, they think that this might help get Roman over. It won't. He'll get booed out of the building when he beats The Undertaker because we don't want to see Taker lose. But it's going to happen, and it's not going to mean anything because the streak's broken. If Lesnar hadn't beaten Taker back at WrestleMania 30, this would actually mean something, and this would be good for Roman Reigns. But dude's already 23-1. What's going to happen if it's 23-2? No one's going to care except that the last person to beat The Undertaker was Roman Reigns. Whoop-de-fucking-do. Yeah. So anyway, Roman Reigns will go over on that one. a match that I couldn't see the point in the build except that it gave Shane something to do, but I'm now think it's going to be actually a pretty good match. Won't steal the show. I'll tell you which one. We'll do that soon. But AJ Styles against Shane McMahon. Obviously, AJ frustrated at not getting his opportunities to reclaim his title. Shane being the authority figure who he's taking it out against. The way that AJ Styles brutalized Shane McMahon in the car park, fantastic, brilliant. It what would helped set fire to this feud. They're going to put on a good match. Shane McMahon's going to jump off stuff. He's going to do dumb stuff that will probably break his body. AJ will control the match and put on a phenomenal quote-unquote performance. And I think AJ will actually go over in this one. I don't think Shane's gonna win. I think it will be AJ, only because it'll help perpetuate AJ out of this feud and into something else, and maybe give him that title shot that he needs and wants. Excuse me. Actually, that beer burp reminded me to have some beer. Whoa. Don't fucking drop it. This match has had the best build. It's been 8 months in the making for the United States Championship. Champion Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens. Obviously, when the best of friends, the festival of friendship, when Kevin turned on Chris, brilliant. The story arc is perfect. It's now built to this spot where, you're going to be cheering for Chris Jericho, but you just know that Kevin Owens is that good then and probably deserves a WrestleMania moment. He will probably win this one, I think. I'm hoping so anyway. But even if Chris Jericho wins, I would not be completely upset, but I think it would be better for Kevin Owens. Plus, Jericho will be taking some time off soon for his band, Fozzy. But what a great feud this has been. They have built it so well. I think it's the best thing that Chris Jericho has done since his feud with Shawn Michaels back in 2006 or 7. Let's say 2006-7. You can go and have a look at it on the WWE Network or YouTube, or read one of Chris Jericho's 1,000 books. This is going to be the match that steals the show. They're going to put on a classic, an instant classic, if you like. I'm hoping for KO. Wouldn't be disappointed if Y2J gets up either. All I know is that it's going to be a fun 20-minute match with a lot going on. And it'd be great to see where the story goes from there. I don't think it's going to be the end of the story arc. I think there will be a little bit more to it and a little bit more of a blow-off after WrestleMania. But I think this is going to be the pinnacle of that feud. Another one which at first, when I first heard about it, I thought, Jesus Christ, this is shit. But I'm now super excited for is the intergender tag team match. John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maurice. The Miz and John Cena have done a perfect job in selling this match to the audience. Their promos have been phenomenal. Obviously, The Miz is probably riding the best 12 months of his career. John Cena has put himself into a position where he's putting talent over, which we all thought that he would never do. And he's also putting himself in a position where he's proving that he doesn't need to be the main event for SmackDown to work or for the WWE to work. Like, this is really pretty low on the card. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this kicks off WrestleMania, this match. But the great thing about it is that it's been told perfectly and brilliantly, and just shows how genius John Cena is in when it comes to promo work and psychology for a feud, and the same with The Miz. It'll be great to see Maurice back in the ring wrestling. She hasn't done it so far in the 12 months that she's been back helping her husband as a valet. It also gives Nikki her own WrestleMania moment, seeing she missed out on one last year. There's rumors that maybe Nikki's last ride, full stop. I don't think that will actually be the case. I also heard something or read something on the dirt sheets that there could be the climax or blow off from this match will be that John Cena will propose to Nikki Bella at WrestleMania. That's cheesy, and I don't think it's going to happen. They're not getting married, and even if he turns around and changes his mind, it just makes everything on total divas, Bellas, both, seem more scripted than what it already is. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I would love to see The Miz and Maurice actually get up and win this one, but it will be John Cena and Nikki Bella, and I think it'll just be a good cap off to what has been a fun little feud to lead up to WrestleMania, where I wouldn't have thought it was going to be. I would have thought it'd been very cheesy, but they've both Miz and Johnson have been the stars of this feud. And if you watch SmackDown, where the Miz and Maryse mocked total Bellas, it was fucking hilarious. I could watch that all day. Yeah, again, go to WWE Network or YouTube. You know where to find it. Shit's on the internet. It's fucking everywhere. Right. Next, the Raw Women's Championship. It is now a fatal four-way. The champion, Bayley versus Charlotte versus Sasha versus Nia Jax. I don't know how I feel about this match. Only because I think Charlotte Flair should have been the champion coming into this, and then you could have given Bayley a great WrestleMania moment by beating Charlotte, defeating that undefeated pay-per-view streak of Charlotte's, and winning the title and having that grandiose WrestleMania moment. But for some reason, they pulled the trigger early and gave her the belt back at Fastlane. What I do see happening in this is obviously you've got the two heels of Charlotte and Nia, the two faces of Bayley and Sasha. I actually see a double turn happening here. I see Sasha turning on Bayley and turning heel, and I'm going to say this, which is way out of left field, I'm going to see a face turn from Charlotte. I could see Charlotte in the end sort of helping Bayley retain. How that's going to play out, I'm not really sure, but I think there's going to be a face turn for Charlotte Flair and a heel turn for Sasha Banks. Why? Just because we haven't seen a double turn in a long time, and it'll be a bit of a swerve. Everyone's expecting Sasha to turn heel. I think Nia Jax, her being in there, is going to be purely for brawn and dominance in the beginning. She'll be taken out. It might be a factor in the match. It'll be the athleticism and determination between Bayley, Charlotte and Sasha, which will make it. I think Bayley's going to retain here. I really do. And as I said, the swerves will be the Sasha heel turn and a face turn for Charlotte Flair. The SmackDown Women's Championship. This one is kind of interesting. So obviously, Naomi won the title, but then was injured. And so the story of her taking the belt into her hometown for WrestleMania didn't happen. Alexa Bliss got the title back and is now in a basically one versus all for the championship. So it's every available woman on the SmackDown roster against Alexa Bliss. So at the moment it's basically Alexa against Carmella, Natalia, Becky Lynch and Mickie James. But I think there's going to be one more person to be added into that. I don't think it's going to be a five-way. I think it will be a six-woman match. And I think that sixth person is going to be either a returning Tamina, who apparently has been traveling with SmackDown on live events, or a call-up for Asuka from NXT. The thing about calling Asuka up from NXT is that she's obviously on an undefeated streak herself, and by bringing her in, you'd probably want to bring her in to continue that streak and make it more prominent on WWE TV and into pay-per-views, which I think is a good idea. However, it would mean she would have to somehow drop the NXT title, so whether she has to vacate it, I don't think it would be wise for her to lose the night before to Ember Moon at NXT TakeOver and then come onto the main roster. What I really like the idea of her holding the title, coming into WrestleMania, winning the title, being told by Shane McMahon that she has to give up the NXT title. She goes back to NXT, relinquishes the title back to Triple H and back to the NXT brand, and then they can have the so-called famed women's tournament that they've been planning to crown a new champion, then bring more talent into that developmental of NXT for the women's division, have Asuka just kick ass and kill on the main roster and continue this undefeated streak. I really think that they can ride this to big money, and they could probably ride this for a year again into WrestleMania next year when someone can beat her for the ultimate WrestleMania moment. So that's one thing's going to happen there. Asuka will get a call up, beat Alexa Bliss and all the other women. I'm going to take a pause for the call and drink some beer. The WWE Cruiserweight Championship will also be defended. To be honest, I have not given a goddamn fuck for the Cruiserweights until now. As soon as Austin Aries got off commentary and back in the ring, I got interested. Only because Austin Aries on commentary was hilarious. It was fantastic. It was the best thing going on that show, which was really a toilet break on Raw, and I don't even watch 205 Live. Neville has been doing some good things, obviously, and is a great heel in that division. But him and Austin Aries could be the only match that could steal the show besides Y2J and Kevin Owens. I think these two are going to have a brilliant match. Very high flying, lot of action, a lot of spots, and I think they're experienced enough to tell a great story in the time allowed and make it entertaining. In terms of winner, I want Austin Aries to win, but also I think this feud just started, and I think they need this to continue to help build the Cruiserweight division. So I'm going to say that Neville retains, and it'll kick off a 3-4 month feud, which will culminate at SummerSlam, where Austin Aries can take the title off Neville. So Neville to win. The Intercontinental Championship, Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin. I've really grown to like Baron Corbin. I didn't like him for a while at the end of his NXT run, and when he first came into WWE, I thought he was a bit boring. But I now really like what he's done, and I think the best thing for him has been appearing on Talking Smack and showing off his character and his promo skills. He's gotten so good at that. He's got me invested in him as a character to the point where now I think I want him to beat Dean Ambrose in this match. I want him to have the Intercontinental Championship. I think he's going to be a big star in the future. And this match will be brutal. I'm going to give it a 10-minute time mark, but I think Baron Corbin will win. I think he'll dominate and absolutely destroy Dean Ambrose and take the Intercontinental Championship. How many matches is that so far? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So that's 10 matches, which is a pretty stacked card. And there's still more to come. The Raw Tag Team Championship is going to be a triple threat between Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus Enzo Amore and Big Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Good chance that this could be on the pre-show, but then I also think the Enzo Amore Big Cass shtick would be great to kick off WrestleMania as well, if it isn't the intergender tag. Obviously, no, to kick off the main show with the Enzo and Big Cass's music and Enzo coming out doing his spiel. I don't actually know how this will go. I think Enzo and Big Cass to win the titles and have that WrestleMania moment. However, I could also see the WWE keeping the titles on Gallows and Anderson and maybe starting a bit of friction and dissent between Enzo and Big Cass and trying to lead to a split, which I think would be bad and I wouldn't like to see happen because they are so over with the crowd. But you know, the WWE, like, sometimes they will just do what they think is best for themselves and what they really want to do, especially when it comes to the fact that I think they're pretty high on Big Cass and can see a singles run in him. Maybe not Enzo as much, unfortunately, but definitely can with Big Cass. Cesaro and Sheamus are probably there to make up numbers and give him a spot because I think everyone would be outraged if Cesaro wasn't on the main card, and especially since he's been in the pre-show for the last couple of years. I think he'll want a spot, and he deserves that spot. The reason why I also think Gallows and Anderson may keep the titles is because of the new YouTube show, Southpaw Regional Wrestling, which is apparently the brainchild of Gallows and Anderson. It is pretty funny, if you've had a chance to watch it. Taking a piss of regional wrestling territories of the 80s. So I think for that alone, they may keep the belts on them. If not, it's going to be Enzo and Big Cass's big moment. Big WrestleMania moment to win the tag titles, which will be their first titles ever in the WWE. Couldn't capture the NXT tag titles. Maybe they'll get these ones. And the other match that has been confirmed is the 2017 Andre the Giant Battle Memorial match. It'll be the fourth year that this has been on. So far, we only know four combatants from SmackDown, so obviously it's whoever's not on the card will be in there. Which I think is going to be interesting because at the moment, Braun Strowman doesn't have a match. Samoa Joe doesn't have a match. Sami Zayn doesn't have a match. There's a few, obviously, you know, some of the tag teams from SmackDown and Raw. Your Goldust, your R-Truths, your Big Shows, your Mark Henrys. Those sort of people don't have a match. Yeah, more than likely, they're all going to be stuck into to Andre the Giant Battle Memorial match with probably a call-up from NXT. I think they might bring someone from that UK division or UK tournament into it as well. Probably the UK champion because they're apparently going to be doing some UK championship match during fan access or something like that. It sucks because I think Braun, Luke Harper, and Samoa Joe deserve something better. But I think this is going to be where they're going to end up. I think it'll come down to Braun Strowman and Luke Harper. I'll probably go to Braun Strowman. Although, as I was talking, I had a thought that maybe it might be good to give it to Samoa Joe, have Samoa Joe eliminate Braun Strowman, and then they can start a feud. That, I think, would be really good, and it'd be a great test for Braun to go up against the submission machine, Samoa Joe. I'm now changing my mind. Samoa Joe. And that'll lead into a feud with Braun Strowman. There you go. Book it. Done. A match that's likely to be confirmed and Raw will be the unsanctioned match between Triple H and Seth Rollins. And obviously, they've been playing it out this way because they don't know how Seth's knee is recovering. And even if it's not fully recovered, it could be a chance to have a match without having a match. If his knee's not right, Triple H will just destroy him in like 5 minutes and put him on the shelf. And then they'll pick up the feud again back around SummerSlam, which I think is what will probably happen. It just gives Seth his WrestleMania without having a WrestleMania match, if that makes sense. Probably doesn't matter. But I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a street fight. It's going to be short. It's going to be brutal. And it's going to be Triple H just decimating Seth Rollins. Or the other thing that I can think that they could do is just have them go for 4 hours backstage and we just cut to it every now and again. Kind of like back in, I think it was WrestleMania 10, that backlot brawl between Goldust and Rowdy Piper that started off in a Hollywood studio weeks before and then finished up in the ring. I could see that happening as well, actually. But if not, it's just going to be Triple H just destroying Seth in 5 minutes, depending on how his knee is. What we don't have at the moment is the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The Usos obviously just won the title. You expect a rematch against American Alpha. You think that could be on the pre-show if it gets on the card at all. But by this stage, we're looking at 14 matches. 14 or 15 matches, which, as I said, 2-hour pre-show. Probably a 5-hour show. 7 hours, 15 matches. Plus, obviously, you've got the New Day hosting and doing their bits and skits. Video packages. There'll be an hour of video packages alone. I can't see this match making it at all. So they'll probably get their rematch the Tuesday after. And that's it of the WrestleMania card. I feel like just going over the card, it's already taken half an hour. So, as I said, the event's going to go pretty much all day. For Australians, it's on a Monday and it kicks off at 9 a.m. Pre-show probably kicks off before that, unless that's the pre-show. I'm going to be watching all of it. just going to digest it all. Actually, I'm hoping next weekend I can just digest everything. Hall of Fame ceremony, which would be pretty cool to see. DDP will get inducted. Kurt Angle will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Teddy Long, Rock and Roll Express, Beth Phoenix, Rick Rude, and there was someone else whose name escapes me. Actually, have they announced who's the celebrity going in? I don't think they have. Yeah, that'd be kind of, that's always fun and entertaining. NXT as well, you've got Bobby Roode defending his title against Shinsuke Nakamura. People are thinking that this is Shinsuke's last NXT match before getting a call up. I have a feeling they're going to hold off calling him up just a little bit longer. Obviously, the night after WrestleMania, it could still happen on Raw or SmackDown, but I think it might be better to hold him off till SummerSlam and then have him come into the SmackDown division or get drafted in the annual draft, which will probably happen around June, July as well. Bobby Roode will probably retain. As I mentioned before, obviously Asuka and Ember Moon, I still think Asuka's going to retain the title and then have to vacate it if she gets called up. There's the Triple Threat Tag Team, DIY, The Revival, and Authors of Pain. Authors of Pain are the champions. Again, they're on a winning streak. Being a triple threat, this is a good chance to have them drop the titles without being pinned. And I think there's a good chance that DIY might take the titles. They said there's going to be some other matches, but to be honest, I haven't had a chance to watch much of NXT when there's so much WWE programming and so little time. You just can't get to it all. It's way too much wrestling, which I wouldn't have thought of being a bad thing, but it means that I miss stuff, and that's sad. And maybe I might watch them this afternoon. Not doing much on a Sunday arvo, except talking about what I think is going to happen to WrestleMania, drinking beer, and just enjoying life. So, hopefully, I'm just going to say, look, we'll revisit and see how right I am. Let's face it, I'm probably not going to record another one of these for another 6 months. But that's just the way this one goes. I'll just do it whenever I goddamn feel like it. But that's just my thoughts and opinions on WrestleMania 33. If you agree with me, let me know. You can catch me on Twitter at Jace3812. You can follow me on Instagram at _Jace3812. Untapped, the Beer Drinkers app. You can follow me there as well at Jace3812. I should do another one because I want to talk to you guys about a lot of stuff that I suppose that's been happening over the last 6 months. Some new hobbies, things, stuff. But I might wait for another time because some of the stories I need to just wait to see how things go from a legality standpoint. Yeah, it's a little teaser for you. Not a very good one, but maybe you'll be suspended in belief or disbelief until I tell you what's been going on. And I probably won't. That's it. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to me dribble on. The mind is one of the things that wastes. Go to the website, strangebuttruecreative.com, where there is more shit. And there's also my radio show, the ingeniously titled The Mind is one of the things that wastes radio show, where I don't talk as much and I play music. Thank you very much. That's the outro music. I now have outro music. Did you know that? Probably didn't know that.